This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106.1. Sports Saturday brought to you this morning by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Security National Bank with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. St. Louis Regional Airport in East Alton. Nathan Clements, your country financial agent in Nokomis. Nokomis Tire and Auto Repair, a name you can trust. German Seed and Chemical LTD. Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield. And by DC Waste and Recycling. Now, you're on Sports Saturday. Here's Tim Mize and Terry Toe.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. And, you know, T, there's only maybe one or two things that in the middle of high school football season could bump it straight out of the show.
Well, the one thing that could do it is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, but we took care of that on Thursday.
Right.
So other thing would be having Kelsey Card.
That's right. United States Olympian, Carlinville grad, Kelsey Card, back stateside. Kelsey, hello. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. We're so glad to have you. I guess so many different things to talk about here with your experiences, but I guess just first off, what was it like to be a United States Olympian?
Oh, my gosh. Spend the whole hour answering that question. It was a lot of fun. You know, it's like I said, that's what every serious athlete's dream is, to be an Olympian. And so to get to that level was just amazing. And then for Team USA, which I truly believe is the hardest team to make, especially for track and field. And so just to be out there wearing those colors and, you know, representing the country, it was amazing.
Why is it so difficult to make the team for Team USA? Explain the background behind it and the level and how things are competed, you know, how you compete and the fact that you have to be able to raise money for this sort of thing and there's no backing from the government like in other countries.
Yeah, so just track in general is hard because, I mean, it's a sport that a lot of people do, and we're such a big country population-wise that there's more competition just in that. But then beyond that, it's tough because you have to have the Olympic standard. Like, so to make it to the Olympics, you have to have the standard, you have to throw the distance, and then also you have to be top three of people that have that. And so a lot of countries don't even have anybody that hits the standard, or they'll just have one or something. And so I think aside from Germany maybe, because they have a good group of discus female throwers, we have by far the most people that had the Olympic standard. Because going into the competition, there was 11 girls that day at the trials that had it. And so it's crazy because any other country – they would be automatically going. Like, they wouldn't even have to compete at a national meet or whatever because there's nobody else that has the standard. And so I think just having that competition makes it all the more special when you do make it because you're like, yeah, this is the best of the best, you know, and going against all those tough numbers.
And not only were you an Olympian, but you had the best throw of all the American Olympians. That had to be a great feeling.
It was. And it's just the meet was kind of hard for me because I was frustrated with my distance and placing just because I knew that I could do better. But, you know, I mean, I put all into it that I had, and I just couldn't get my legs going, you know. But I learned a lot, and it was just – because I've been in international competitions before, but this is the Olympics. It's totally different. And so just getting all of that experience and everything, and then it was a really good feeling to still come out on top, even on a bad day for me. So.
Did you try to tell yourself, this is just another meet?
I did, and it's tough because you need to recognize – that it is the Olympics and try to feed off of the energy. So I tried to do that, but then at the end of the day, and that's what Coach and I have been saying this whole journey, is just it is just another track meet, you know. And so it's, you got to think about it like that and just try to do your thing and don't be something that you're not.
Yet you're standing there in an Olympic stadium filled with people, you know, and you know there's, you know, billions of people watching. You know that, I mean, it has to be overwhelming at times, and you have to probably just take a deep breath and refocus.
You know, it kind of was. It was the coolest thing to me was thinking of all the people, you know, back home that were watching and just all over the U.S. that had some tie to me in some way. And so just side note with that, I just the feeling of support from my family, friends, and then just my community was insane, you know, because so I didn't, and my grandma's like, you don't know how many people are watching you and following, and I was like, no, I really don't. Like, it's just, it blows my mind how many people just care, you know, and want to be involved, and so just all the stuff they did before, like with the t-shirts, and that was the other thing. I was like, people are sitting at home wearing their Kelsey Card t-shirts and stuff like that, you know, and just the amount that we raised with that was so cool, and so for me, that was the thing, because I mean, you know, people watch me at the other meets, but like, this is different. Like, everyone was telling me how they had to watch it on their phones and stuff, because I guess it was kind of screwy trying to get the live stream. But I appreciate the lengths that people went to watch it. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many people supporting me and like they're cheering for me. And so I think that was the biggest thing when I stepped out there, was knowing the personal audience that I had.
Well, it was really cool to be watching the Olympics and then, hey, there's Kelsey Card.
I know, that's what everyone, like after the opening ceremonies, everybody was posting the pictures.
You're right behind the flag.
How did you get there? How did you wind up with that primo position in the opening ceremonies?
There was a little bit of strategy. So me and my girl, Deanna Price, she went to Carbondale. We, you know, we're good friends, so we're like, we're going to link arms and stay together with this. Because even though we were all Team USA, if you weren't purposefully trying to stay with someone, you would lose each other.
Okay.
So we were linked arms. And as soon as we started to line up, I was like, okay, Michael Phelps, man with the light-up jacket, stay with him. Stay in the U side of him. And so that's what we did. We just tried to get as close as we could. And we got back a little ways far, but we were hanging out with some cool wrestlers and just talking along the way. And then whenever we walked in, it lined up perfectly for a lot of the pictures, just where the flag was and then where it was in the back. So, it worked out. But people were like, you didn't run to a camera. And I was, of course, too busy looking around and talking to everybody.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess that's just me. But it was cool how it worked
out. But that's part of the experience.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is I didn't want to – because I watched some of the ceremonies of 2012, and everyone had their phones out and was just – I feel like they weren't taking in the moment. So, I mean, I took some pictures before and like, towards the end. But I wanted to be in – the moment, because I can watch it on TV later, you know? And so I was like, I want to focus on this feeling and not have any, obviously you have distractions, but not have any technology distractions.
And usually the U.S. team comes in near the end of the possession because of the U, but with the Spanish and the Estados, you guys went in a lot earlier. So you got to be out there for a good portion of that opening ceremony. What was that like, looking around the stadium and just seeing all that?
It was crazy because there was so many people in the stands, and I've never been to a concert or anything like that, which may sound lame. But so this was my first big like stadium experience with anything, and so just all like just even like the cameras flashing in the crowd and just all that kind of stuff and the music and it was really really cool, and it's something I'll never forget. It was amazing. I'm really happy I did opening.
And it was really cool too because I believe they said there's. U.S. team had the most female athletes of all time.
Mm-hmm. That was exciting to be a part of that, you know, and I'm all about, you know, girl power and strong is beautiful and just everything, and I like my women throw like a girl, you know. And so it's amazing to be a part of that kind of a group, you know.
In fact, the women's athletes from the United States won more medals than the men.
Yeah.
Well, I think I heard them say that if the United States women were their own country, they would have gotten like the third most medals or something like that.
Yeah. That's girl power. It was awesome.
Now you stayed all the way through for the full 2 weeks, right? Or you were planning to?
I did. Yeah. So I was kind of unsure. As soon as I knew I made the team, I was like, what do I want to do, blah, blah, blah. And then, but as soon as I sat down at the table at processing to put my flight stuff in, I was like, you know what, I'm going the whole time. I was like, I'm doing it. And so I was there for 3 weeks. It was a very long time, but I'm really happy that I did it, just because it was nice to experience all the stuff at the beginning, and, you know, I competed, and then after, I still had time to kind of go around and do things, and then also, the closing ceremonies were fun, too. So, I mean, it was raining, but it was fun. It was cool.
What was the, I mean, obviously there are completely different types of ceremonies.
Yeah.
But not as much pomp and circumstance maybe for the closing ceremony?
No. For closing ceremonies, it was kind of a free-for-all, to be completely honest. And that's what they said. It's like a big party for the athletes. And so, I mean, they had a sit in a certain, because everybody walked in at once. It wasn't broken up by country, so that was cool. And then they kind of had a sit in the bottom, like for the different presentations they had and stuff going on. But then as soon as whatever they had, the big party, the Brazilian, like the parade thing, we all got to just rush the floor, and people were putting on the dancers' outfits and like waving around. I didn't do that, but they like just the dancers were like giving off pieces of their clothing, and people were putting it on.
They used to do that. What kind of party is this?
They used to do that in the '70s a lot.
It was crazy. Carnival. That's what it is. It was like a mini carnival.
Okay,
there you go.
It was nuts. There was just everywhere, but it was a lot of fun.
And to me, the closing ceremony started out so somber, you know, and then all of a sudden, exploded into the party.
It did. It was a lot of color, and it was really cool. And then I liked the Tokyo bit, how the Prime Minister, I think it was, came
Mario.
Out as Mario. That was so cool. It was a lot of fun.
Kelsey Card, Carlinville grad, United States Olympian, joining us here on Sports Saturday. We need a break. Kelsey's with us for the entire hour this morning here on FM 106. We'll take a break. We'll come back more with United States Olympian Kelsey Card following these messages.
Sports Saturday back with you here on WSMI FM 106. Now back into the other studio, we've got Tim Mize and Terry Tote with special guest Olympian Kelsey Card.
That's right. Thank you very much, David Jenkins and Kelsey Card in studio this morning. Now, when did you get back from Brazil? It's been a while.
Yes. So I landed back in Madison on the 23rd. Yes, the 23rd. Yep, and so I was there for about a week, I would say, and then I flew down to Georgia to visit my sister, and she has one-year-old twins, and so I got to spend the week with them. And then I flew up here yesterday and hot off the plane, you know, coming back into town.
Excellent.
Kelsey, one of the things I wanted to know, and we saw an awful lot of media coverage about the issue of safety and, you know, are the athletes going to be okay? And you know, just the general threats that go on with just living in the 21st century. Were you at ease when you were in Rio?
Yeah, I mean, I think going into the games, I had scared myself into thinking that it was going to be this really, like, terrifying deal, and just with the way that the media was presenting the situation and everything like that. But once I got down there, I felt totally fine, and they had such a strong military and police presence, and that I always felt very safe and guarded. And I especially whenever we were within Rio Transport and anything to do with the village or anything to do with, like, the Olympic track or group, totally fine, no matter what. And then I even went out with my family just kind of as regular people, just seeing the sights and stuff. And I still felt totally fine. And we took public transport. We're doing everything. And I felt really safe. They had everything very well kept and taken care of.
You know, there were stories about how awful Rio is, and it's disorganized, and they're having so many problems. And I think, you know, basically any venue that would host an event like this would have their series of problems, but nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah,
that would disrupt your enjoyment of the games.
Yeah. So, I mean, the nice thing about track was that our stadium was an existing stadium from, I think, a Pan Am Games they held in, like, 2007. So, I mean, I knew going into it that our stadium was going to be totally fine. So that was nice and reassuring. But I didn't really hear about too many problems from just other sports and everything like that. And it's just, hosting the Olympics is such a huge undertaking. And so I can understand how it would be hard to put everything together that fast.
I know before the games, just maybe a week before all the athletes were to get down there, there was a lot of reports that the athletes' village was not in real good shape, that they did a test run, turned on the water in, like, one of the buildings and was leaking everywhere and just all sorts of problems. But from your experience in Athlete Village, it sounds like it was pretty good.
It was, yeah. And so it was like five groupings of buildings, and I found this out after I got there, but each group was built by a different contractor. And so, like, our grouping, and the buildings looked a little different, but Team USA was fortunate enough to have its own building just due to the size and everything of our delegation. And so our building was totally fine. And, I mean, it wasn't super fancy, but then again, you don't need anything super fancy. It's just everything was good, and there was a little bit, we had cold water and then some air conditioning issues, but they were right on it to fix it as soon as we got there and everything like that. So I didn't have any problems, you know, and so I feel fortunate, and I don't think, other than the Australians and their whole debacle, there wasn't really any other problems in the village.
Was it like a dorm room in college, or not necessarily?
Well, it was different because it was kind of like apartment suite style.
Okay.
So, and the layouts were a little different, but at least for mine, it was, you walk in and then there was a living room area. There was a bathroom to this side, and each room had a huge balcony, so that was really pretty. And then there was a little bit of a hallway, another bathroom, and then two bedrooms with two beds in it, and then another bedroom with a bathroom and two beds at the end. And so it was really nice how they did it, because each suite had one supersized bed, if they have you. And so they gave each of those beds to the throwers. And so, yeah, so it was really nice. So we got the bigger beds, and those were in the bigger, like, what will be the master bedroom of the apartments later. So, yeah, so I lucked out. I got to be in the bigger room with the bathroom in there. So it worked out really well, and my suite mates were a lot of fun.
How did that work in terms of, you mentioned that you had an entire U.S. building to your guys' self, but in terms of your roommates and what sports they were competing in, what was the breakdown?
We were all track and field.
All track and field.
Yeah, and so because we were the biggest we were the biggest delegation within Team USA, so we had probably three or four floors just to ourselves because we had so many athletes. And so I was originally requesting to room with Deanna Price, but then because they did the whole throwers get the big beds, we didn't end up getting to be together. We were on the same floor, so it worked out. But I was with a heptathlete, a triple jumper, and two distance girls, one 800 runner and one who runs further. and so they were all really nice. And then I was supposed to room with Emma Coburn, the steeplechaser that got bronze for us. But she hadn't kind of showed up yet. And so then one day I saw her at the training facility, and I was like, hey, like, I'm Kelsey Card. I think we're supposed to be roommates. She's like, oh, I'm not even staying in the village. Like, I'm staying off in Flamingo or something. She's like, you can just put your stuff everywhere in the room. So I was like, okay. So I had a room to myself the whole time. So that was really, really nice. So all the girls were really sweet, and I celebrated a birthday down there, and so they took me out for the day, and we had a lot of fun. They were really, really nice.
That'll be a birthday you will never forget.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
So going in, you probably had some expectations and some thoughts about, well, this is how it's probably going to run, and this is how it's going to, you know, play out. What surprised you? What was different than what you thought it was going to be? Was there anything different than what you thought it was going to be?
It's kind of hard because kind of the rigmarole with these international competitions is they're very serious when you're at a certain place, a certain time for the meet and everything like that. So I was kind of used to that, but it was even more planned out and thought out. We all have to be here at this time. We have to be here and da da da. But then yet there was still kind of some freedom in that I wasn't necessarily expecting. So that was cool. And then this is just a weird side note, but so whenever you're called up to throw, it's like, card on deck or card up, you know, that up on deck on hold, and they didn't do that. So you were kind of on your own to make sure you knew when you were coming up, which is fine for me because I was watching the board when it was switching, so I knew. But I think that surprised some first timers just because they're like, oh, why aren't they calling my name? You know, like, my time's running out. And so, I think that was just something that was kind of weird. And so I'm assuming that's the standard for all international, like the Olympics, how they run it. But I'd never experienced that before. So unless you were paying attention, you might have accidentally missed your turn.
That'd be bad.
Yeah.
Before we went on the air, you were talking about the ring itself, where you threw from, and how it was, the construction of it was different, but it was good.
Yeah,
and most people would never think about it, you know.
Definitely.
But how's that compared to, say, you know, at Carlinville High School and at the University of Wisconsin and that sort of thing?
A ring is not a ring is a ring. It is not. They are not the same. They're not all created equal. And so, the exciting thing about down there in Rio. So Team USA trained at the Naval Base. It was, I don't even remember what part of Rio it is, but it was just Team USA. And like I said, it's a full functioning naval school, but they have a track, gyms, and a water thing. So it was track, water polo, and volleyball that all trained there. And they also brought in the Olympic Training Center chefs. So they cooked food for us there. So that was delicious. And, so they resurfaced the track, and then they also put in a brand new throwing ring, and they had the same people do that ring that did the one in the stadium. So we were really lucky because the surfaces were almost exactly the same. So we got to train the whole time leading up to it on what was in competition. And we also did get to do a walkthrough in the actual stadium. And so just the ring surface was really nice. It had just enough grit, but not too much. You know, it wasn't too fast, too slow. And it was designed to work well when it was wet. So that was nice to have, especially because it did rain. And then, it's just, it's nice because it was pretty similar to the ring we have at Wisconsin. Maybe, like, a slight bit slower, but it's hard because it was wet and just comparing and everything. But it's, you know, it's a nice sunken ring. And so a lot of rings, like, you know, at Carnival and other high schools, a lot of throwing rings aren't sunken.
Right.
And, you know, don't always have, like, the right topping. But it's just hard because it's kind of what's going to work best for their thing. So like with the rings where they just have it on top, like those are easier to sweep out when it's wet. And it's takes more effort to get it out of a sunken ring and just things like that. And so, But yeah, I really liked the ring there, though. It worked good. And the, you know, the cage was nice. It was a little bigger just because it was, you know, they I feel like they make the cages bigger for the occasion, you know. but it wasn't, Deanna freaked me out a little after she threw hammer. She's like, Kelsey, the cage is so tight, like the entrance. And I'm like, don't tell me that. Don't tell me. But they have to pull the doors in even more for hammer. So
okay.
I did never really have to see it in that state. And it was perfectly fine for discus. So
I thought of your Olympic night last night when I was in Greenville for the Carlinville football game. They were out there warming up and it was just dumping buckets of rain. It made me think about watching the discus night and the Brazilian rainstorm that was just driving down on the track and field that evening. From your perspective, was it raining as hard as it looked like it was on TV, for one? And what goes through your mind, biggest meet of your life, and you have less than ideal conditions?
It was, I would say that it was raining as hard as it looked. Fortunately, I was not in the first flight, so I got to be, I was actually under the stadium for most of that, and then they delayed it and stuff, and so we were still under there. But it was raining a lot. The other thing, though, I mean, you know, it's an outdoor sport, and that's going to happen. And so we, as soon as I stepped foot on campus at Wisconsin, you know, we throw in the rain. We train in the rain because coach is like, it could rain at conference. And then as the years went by, it could rain at regionals. It could rain at nationals. It could rain at U.S. championships. You know, so it's just you have to be prepared for any situation. And I feel like some people are like, oh, it's raining, we'll go inside today. We don't have that. We are outside, which is, and I'm, you know, I mean, I may have hated it at the time and cold feet and had to go, you know, take a hot shower when I got home, but it was totally worth it because just all those years of experience of throwing in the rain were really helpful. So I feel very lucky to have a coach that's like, nope, we're staying outside.
Now, you tell me if I perceived this right or if I perceived it wrong, but when I was watching you, your first throw was a fault. You walked out, you were not happy. You looked very agitated.
No, I was just, I mean, see, it's not that we just, like, throw away the first throw, but it's usually not my best throw. Okay, we're just going to ignore the Olympic trials, though, because that one was my best throw, so we're just not going to think about that. But aside from that meet, it's generally not my best throw. And so we always like to say, you know, first one out the gate. You know, so, I mean, I was annoyed because it was kind of a stupid foul, and, like, I should have been more aware of where I was. Mm-hmm. But, so that was why I probably looked annoyed. But I wasn't really shaken by it because it's like, all right, got that one done, you know, let's go on.
And then after your second throw, you looked happier, and you walked, the camera followed you, and you walked off towards the stands. Who were you going to see?
My coach.
Okay.
And so I was lucky enough that he could come down. He was there, I think, a good, almost a week before I competed. So I really, so as soon as he got to Rio, I felt instantly better because I was like, okay, familiarity, we're good. And so, yeah, so he was able to come down there and, just kind of with the way the stadium was arranged, he got to be really close. So and this is the other surprising thing about the thing. They're very picky at most bigger track meets where they let you walk and win as a thrower because the track events are going on. But with this, like, they generally just let me just walk across. So I was just walking across the track to the other side. Yeah, so that was a surprising thing. So I was like, okay. But that was nice because then we didn't have to, like, shout at each other and we could be, like, 5 foot away talking and everything. So, yeah, so he was who I was going to talk to over there. Yeah.
And then after your third throw, what's the first thing that went through your mind after your competition was done?
I mean, it's hard because, you know, it's just you're at the Olympic Games, and for me, I felt like I couldn't call myself an Olympian until I'd actually participated and, you know, and just had a fair throw and everything in the field of play. And so, I mean, it was on the one hand, it was like, oh my gosh, I can finally call myself this thing. But then on the other, it's just like, I really wish that I could have better sort of taken advantage of the circumstances, and I knew I was capable of throwing farther, but it's just, I just couldn't get it together at that moment. So it's hard because I was happy, but then still just the frustration and hungry for wanting more. And that's one thing after I was done, my coach was like, does this leave you, you know, hungry for more and wanting more? And I'm like, you know, it kind of does.
Yeah.
So I think it was good because it was I fulfilled a dream, but yet it wasn't like, oh, I'm done now. You know, I want to do better. Like I want to keep, you know,
the hunger kind of gets reignited,
yeah.
And then it builds over time. But you're going to take your time and think about the next 4 years.
Yeah. So I'm currently in a decent chunk of time off now, just because I've been going so long, not just the last 5 years, but then just this season in general. Because I started back the second week of January, you know, with competition, and just because the collegiate season is so long. So yeah. So I've been some time off now, and then I'm going to go back to Madison next week, and I'm looking for a part-time job and just kind of get some things in order before I start training. But I'm just going to take it year by year, you know, and the plan is to keep training in Madison with my coach there. And the nice thing about track is that it's not a, you know, once every 4 years type of deal, that we have other world championships and Pan Am games and stuff between now and then. So there are steps along the way to try to, with goals to reach and everything, and stay focused on track.
There basically is a major track event every year, isn't there, like World Championships and Pan Am Games and stuff?
Kind of.
Like
so
that?
World Championships are next summer in London, and then it's a down year. So, I mean, there's still Diamond League meets and everything like that, but no Team USA to make for the seniors anyway. There might be for the younger people. But and then the next year after that, it's it's Pan Am Games and World Championships again, and then we're back to the Olympics. And those teams work the same way as it does to make the Olympic team. You have to be at U.S. Championships. You have to have the standard and finish top three. So it's not just like, oh, you made the Olympics. You just get out of jail free card. You know, it's you have to keep on it because they want to have the best people at that time representing the country.
Talk with Kelsey Card, United States Olympian and Carlinville High School grad. And Olympian is awesome, but in some ways, in America, you know, you have truly arrived when you get a sponsorship deal from Nike.
Yes, it seems that way. Yes, I did. So I have, I'm officially repping the swoosh, you know. And so it's exciting because for female throwers in this country, there's not really a lot of options. And so Nike's pretty much the only one who sponsors us, especially throwers in general, men and women. And so it was really exciting to get to be picked up by them. And like I said, I get lots of cool gear and all kinds of stuff like that. But unfortunately, I do. It's hard to make a living throwing. You know, it's not like, you know, WNBA or NFL or anything like that. When I say that I'm professional, so so I will be doing something part time on the side while I'm training. But like I said, lots of cool swag though.
Absolutely. We need to get to another break here on Sports Saturday. Kelsey Card in studio this morning. We're back with more from Kelsey following these messages.
9:33 back here on WSMI FM 106. Now back to the studio with Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Kelsey Card on Sports Saturday.
All right, David Jenkins.
By the way, our host of the Pizza Man pregame show.
That's right.
On Friday nights for high school football.
And we won't have the Pizza Man pregame show tonight for Carlinville Greenville.
Because it's a suspended game.
That's right. 11 minutes and 40 seconds to go in the first half. Carlinville and Greenville will have it for you live tonight about 6:50 here on FM 106.
I had a call earlier this morning. A suspended game, you pick it up where it's left off, and you don't start over. That's what a suspended game means. So
it was one of those weird things. The actual delay had nothing to do with rain.
Yeah.
Lightning and thunder never actually rained after the weather delay took effect. And it messed up Kelsey, too.
I did. I was going there to, you know, watch my little brother play, and had literally just parked and gotten out of the car when it was lightning delay. I was like, are you serious?
Now, did you experience too many of the weather delays in high school track? That was a long time ago now.
That was a long time ago. I'm not sure. I mean, you know, not a ton, but yeah. it was a thing that happened, and it was kind of a drag. But you know, it's just better safe than
really
safe
in Illinois. Spring track, it's more, you know, crappy weather.
Yeah,
cold, rain, wind, occasional snow, ice. You know, that sort of stuff. It's just blustery conditions a lot of times. Not much lightning and thunder and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, even in college, the one within recent memory that we had was at regionals in Kansas, and that was just, I felt so bad for them because it was a beautiful facility, but just the weather was awful. It was so terrible. You could not have picked worse weather. And it's just like, this is not a reflection on their putting on the meet, but it's just unfortunate.
Let's talk a little bit about your collegiate career that is now wrapped up. You had a great senior season.
I did. It was, I mean, indoor was pretty good until, you know, nationals, and I was very, very unhappy with my nationals performance for indoor season. And, you know, we spring breaked out in California at San Diego, and I was like, coach, like, if you have a minute, can we just sit down and chat, you know? And one of the things that I think was kind of holding me back that I was struggling with was just trying to eat better and things like that. And so it may sound strange because people are like, well, just don't eat bad things. Like, you know, I'm like, you know, if I could, I would. And so I just sat down with it because we'd been trying to kind of rein that in for a long time, and I was just struggling to commit to that. And, you know, we sat down and I was like, okay, like, I really want to get serious about this. And he's like, all right, if you want me to, I'll be there, you know, making sure you are. And so I think just having that serious talk with him, it was kind of a slap in the face. And so, you know, we set some goals, and I don't like to necessarily do things by weight, but it's kind of an easy marker and just something you can keep track of and sense of encouragement. And so we had some goals, and it was really hard, but you know, I finally buckled down and kind of did it with the help of just those around me, and my fiance especially, just he was helping keep me on the boat. But you know, I started to see some changes, and I think that helped sort of with my outdoor season.
And not only the physical changes, but when that happens, then your mental
You do, yeah. And
aspect changes as well.
It does. You know, I mean, it's the struggle of being a girl a lot of times. You're very self-conscious, and, you know, I got spandex everywhere and just everything like that. And so I felt better about myself in general, and just people, I think other people noticing and commenting. I was like, oh, like, there are changes happening, you know, everything like that. And so just with that, with the outdoor, and then just kind of going into a new mindset, I think I just kind of let some external things get to me with indoors, and so I really focused on not thinking about those things and just other influences and really focusing on throwing. And the biggest thing, our mindset, was that I need to just be me, because being somebody else isn't going to work for me, and I need to just do what I do and focus on just me. And so I think that was the big sort of theme through outdoors, and that really worked well for me.
So many sports we see that when teams get hot at the right time, they do well in postseason tournament play or playoffs and stuff like. Do throwers go through ups and downs?
Yes.
Being hot, being cold, being out of sync?
Yes, definitely. And so preferably we want that to be the nice thing. I mean, and it's with any season, you know, it's like the better or the more important things are at the end of the season. And so the nice thing about throwing is that it's just you to worry about. You're not worrying about five or six other people or whatever, what have you, for a team sport. And so, I mean, it was tough because we hit it hard again with the training and the weights and stuff after indoor nationals and just pushing through. And then for me in general, I do better. And there's always a learning curve. We're still figuring out new things about me and what works best. And so for me, it was better seemingly to go harder, longer, and you know, not back off hugely. I mean, we do to peak, but so I think we kind of put that into play and then just trying to peak at the right time. And I think we did. I mean, regionals was a really bad meet for me, but that was for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, we gutted it out, so we made it through to nationals in both. And then I think we had everything perfectly timed up for nationals. Shot put was a little iffy, but those were more technical issues versus being physically ready. But, you know, in discus, we were able to just get it out beautifully.
But you're still a young person, so your body continues to change. So,
yes.
You know, you get used to one thing, then all of a sudden something changes, you know, physically sometimes, and then you have to readjust.
Definitely.
And does that add to frustration?
You know, it does, and it's hard because you have to be able to make those changes, and I think I'm lucky enough that I'm with a coach that recognizes that, and he and I have been together he's worked with me for so long that, you know, he kind of gets me and sees my pattern of changes. And then the nice thing about being a female thrower is that we don't peak until 30 and beyond. You know, I mean, G. Lewis Smallwood, who went to Illinois, she set the American record, I think, 2 years ago at, like, age 36. So, now granted, she's super tall, but that's encouraging to know that I can keep going. And, like, and I know women that are their mothers, and they came back after having kids. So that's encouraging, too, because you don't have to put those other life goals on hold necessarily for your athletic career. So I'm really happy about the sport that I've chosen in that aspect.
And that will be probably, I guess, the biggest difference from now to the next potential Olympic Games for you is you're out of college now, you're engaged. So life is going to start to happen in several different ways. So how do you foresee, and you probably can't really answer this question right now, but how do you foresee that balance for you over the next 4 years?
Oh, I've thought about it a lot. I mean, it's, and my coach says it, and just a lot of my friends that have graduated and gone pro say too, the first year out of college is the hardest. It's really tough, especially as a track athlete thrower. And it's just, I feel fortunate enough to come out with the timing of coming out on an Olympic year, so I don't have the stress of trying to make that kind of a team immediately out of college. So, I mean, this year will definitely be a year of adjustment, even though I'm doing the same thing I've been doing. Like,
right.
It's still different, and so I'm expecting and prepping myself for some of those difficulties ahead just in this next year. But hopefully it kind of, you know, I find a new normal and kind of smooth back out after this and everything. And then, you know, just as far as things go, like, at some point we'll get married. We have no date yet, and I have a personal goal to have that set soon. But, you know, we may just elope. Who knows? And so, I mean, that will happen, but we don't want to we've talked about it, and if I do keep throwing, like, we don't want to try for – you know, start having a family until after 2020, like, just in case, because it kind of ironically coincides with our age timeline of wanting to have a family anyway with the games and stuff. So that works out well. Just coincidentally, it's good. So, yeah, so definitely nothing before the next game. But, you know, after that, possibly. But it's just, I'm also trying to think about, I want to be a marriage and family therapist someday. And so it's kind of odd for an athlete in my kind of situation to have such a different passion outside of sports, because, I mean, I love working with kids and coaching and teaching, but that's not necessarily what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, I need to fit in grad school at some point for that. And so it's just a lot of things and options, but I'd rather have too many options than not enough. And so
you bounce ideas off your coach, I suspect, and he bounces ideas off
yes.
of you that don't necessarily refer to throwing.
Oh,
maybe
yes.
just life ideas.
Yes.
And how often do you talk to Coach Jokic? How often do you talk to, you know, mom and dad and sit down and just say, hey, you know, what do you think? Can you give me any suggestions? And they're probably going to tell you, well, this is all your decision, you know. You have to do what you want to do. But do you talk with Coach Jokic and kind of pick his brain sometime?
You know, we text. It's fun because mm-hmm. I love that he texts me. And so we talk about random things, but not necessarily about kind of those outside things. I mean, I think he knows what I'd like to do eventually, but I would say, and I mean, I talk to my mom and dad about stuff, but that's just, you know, child to parent
sure.
type thing. But I mean, I talk a lot with my athletic trainers. They have been, I have two, Chuck and Allison, and they've just been amazing. And we talk about everything. And then I also talk a lot with Dave. It was kind of funny because we spend way too much time together just with, you know, I mean, I feel really close to him and his family. Because he and his wife, I love his wife. She's so nice. And then she coaches volleyball, too, up at a college up there. And they have a two-year-old, and so, you know, I babysit him all the time and everything. But so, yeah, so Dave and I talk about a lot of stuff. And then I'm trying to think. I mean, it's hard because I have so many good people and just strong figures in my life that I have somebody for everybody. It's, you know, I have a person for this, a person, you know. And so it's great to have all that input and just opinions before I can go forth and make my opinion. I have a lot of things that I can, you know, think about and
decide. It's good to know you have options.
I do, yes. Yeah. I love having too many options is better than having too little, I would say. I mean, at least for most of the things in my life.
Yeah,
shopping,
yeah.
That's a whole other issue. We're not good. Like wedding dress shopping, not good. But it's just, you know.
Now, did you do any type of shopping when you were down in Rio? Those types of things are...
It's embarrassing.
That's a yes.
Yes. I put, because, oh my gosh, it is, I went into team processing knowing we were going to get a lot, but unfortunately most of my information came from my male teammate, Zach Zymek, who competed in the decathlon. And so, you know, he's a guy, he's like, oh, I didn't try any of it on, I just had him put it in my bag, and blah. So I was like, okay, that doesn't tell me much, you know. Shouldn't have asked a guy. But I got to admit, we got so much gear, and just from the Nike and the Ralph Lauren and team processing in Houston, like, it was insane. I sent 42 pounds worth of things back to my grandma's house that I didn't even take to Rio. And I had some space in my suitcase, but I posted pictures on my social media pages, but I came back with an embarrassing amount of luggage because we could have four checked bags. And so I think I had four checked and then like three carry-ons. I don't know how I got past everything but with the three carry-ons and stuff, but they let me. And it's just, I bought some things because they had like Rio stores with all the merchandise and stuff. And so I probably went a little overboard, but I was like, it's my first time and
that's
it's
right.
really cool. So
and it was Rio.
It
I
was.
Mean, you know, it's a great vacation spot. Let's face it. Millions of people visit Rio for vacations.
It was beautiful. I went to Copacabana, Ipanema and Barra beaches, and they were just, I've never seen water like that. It was just, oh, it was so beautiful. And just, you know, so many people walking around where you're like, I would not be able to look like that in a bikini, so I'm just not going to do that. You know, it's just, there were so many like beautiful people on the beach and just everything like that. And just, yes, a lot of shopping. I got a lot of things. My house,
beauty comes
in
many different shapes and shades, my dear. So don't worry about that.
There was a lot of cool people there, just, you know, in every aspect. So that was a lot of fun to meet.
Kelsey Carr joining us here on Sports Saturday. Carlinville grad and United States Olympian. We need one more break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more from Kelsey Carr following these messages.
9:49 on WSMI FM 106. Now back to Tim Mize and Terry Tote on Sports Saturday with special guest, U.S. Olympian Kelsey Carr.
That's right. Thank you very much, David Jenkins and Kelsey Card in studio here. She has been for the full hour. We thank her very much for that. We'll have high school football tonight, Carlinville at Greenville, live coverage 6:50 of the suspended game here on FM 106. And Kelsey, I wanted to ask you about this. Going back to your high school days, you were a phenomenal volleyball player, very good basketball player, and obviously the track and field speaks for itself. But so much now, I feel like parents try to specialize their kids at a very young age. Like, oh, Johnny's good at baseball, so he's only going to play baseball. I've heard a lot of different athletes say that is not the way to go. You are a perfect example to maybe explain to people why branching out, playing multiple sports growing up is a very good idea.
I do. I'm another one of the athletes. I do not like when kids start specializing super young. So, I mean, it's just my story. You know, I started out, I did gymnastics, and I think everybody starts out playing soccer. Like, that's just the thing you do, you know?
Yeah.
And so just starting out with that and then kind of migrating in, adding volleyball and basketball and you know, letting the others go. I think that built a great background in just flexibility and body awareness and just learning to develop as a person, physically and everything, and just getting those other skills were really helpful. And so I feel like kids, you know, they're just pushed into one thing, and it's just repetitive movement from that young when you're growing is not good. And that's why we see all these injuries and, like, having all the Tommy John surgeries and things like that. It's really frustrating because I know parents think that they're doing right and, like, the best thing for their kid by doing that, but it's just you're not. You're hurting them. And so it's better to keep them in a more diversified environment and really build all the skills, and then as they get older, I mean, you can do extra enrichment and something that they seem to be showing promise in, but you need to keep those other things. And so, you know, I mean, I played club volleyball from like fourth grade to freshman year because I thought volleyball was going to be my thing because, you know, that's what my sister did and that was just what I always did and was good at. But then, you know, I had some experiences freshman year with club where I was like, I don't know if this is for me. And then just kind of thinking ahead in the future, just seeing what my sister went through at a D1 school. I mean, she was pre-med, which was a whole other ballpark, but I was just like, I don't really know if I want to do that. And so, you know, so I stopped playing the club, and then sophomore year I was volleyball, basketball, and track. And it was really nice because I was still kind of throwing in the fall and in the summer and stuff after season, but I was still doing those other sports. And it was great. Not only physically, but mentally, and just to keep you always thinking and guessing, making your body guess and adjust to what you're doing. And it's just, I still to this day, I love volleyball. I do. And it's just, I it's hard to explain because it's just been such a big part of my life for so long. I mean, not really anymore, but like growing up it was. I love to play the game. I'm not in shape to play the game right now, but you know, it's just, I love watching it.
Well, back when you were in high school though, I mean, you scared people.
Yeah.
I mean, when you killed the ball, people, get out of the way.
See, the thing with that, there was always an ice cream incentive where, you know, give people a facial, get the team ice cream. And so that was that. But yeah, I do. It was a lot of fun. And then just basketball, it was funny because I still laugh about this. Coach Deneve, he would always say to me, he's like, Kelsey, basketball is a sustained effort event. Like, you have to keep running. You have to keep going. I'm like, no, just because throwing and volleyball are so explosive and just quick, and then you got breaks and everything. And so he would always give me crap for that because I just, you know, I'd rebound and I'd just whip the ball down to one of my guards, you know, Jenna Wernsinger or Nikki Benny or someone. And then I'd be like, okay, I'll wait here at half court till you come back. Like, I'll just wait here, wait on defense, you know?
He had a funny story that he had out on Twitter a while back about it was your freshman year and you were standing on the baseline in the gym. You took a basketball and you whipped it down the length of the floor and just drilled the mat dead center. And Darren, being Darren, well, I could do that. So he tried to do that, did not do that, and was quickly put in his place.
That spawned a certain out of bounds or a press breaker that is called KMA, and I'll let you figure out what that acronym stands for. But we had some good times, you know. People are like, why is the big girl taking the ball out? Like, what is this, you know? And I'd just nice and easy toss it up to Liz Kelly, and she, you know, she's taller and could out jump people, mm-hmm. So she'd grab it and then we'd go. I was like, all right. You know, that was so much fun. And it's just, and that was the thing too, like having track kind of still be my specialty, but doing the others, it allowed, because track is a team sport, but kind of not really unless you're on a relay. And so I think getting those team sport interactions and everything like that, I think was good for me in high school and just building those relationships and bonding.
Plus you had Franz Strubel, great coach. Darren Deneve, great coach.
Yes,
I mean, you
I
also
did.
Learned different things from different coaches in the different sports.
Definitely. And I agree with that. It's just as much exposure to people like that is what you want, you know. And so for kids growing up, it's just try to do, you know, do a lot of different things. And that's with my kids. You know, I'm going to let them try a bunch of different things, you know, and if they show interest in other things, I'm going to, you know, push them in those directions, but I'm going to keep them open to doing other things like that and just, you know, add in enrichments and stuff. But it's just, you gotta have fun with it and enjoy what you're doing, because whenever, and that's the other thing, kids get burned out on sports. And it's like, they're like, I've been doing this since I was five. I don't want to pitch anymore. I don't, you know, and so it's just, it's not fun for anybody. And that sports should be about the passion and the drive to do it. And I think we're kind of losing that with the, oh my gosh, we got to push to get a scholarship and get a blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's not, that's not what sports are. Should be about, you know what I mean? If you're good enough and in the spot to get a scholarship, that's awesome. But there's just so many other reasons to be doing sports than that.
I often tell kids, I said, the great thing about sports is that 25 years down the line, you look back and you can remember how much fun you had playing. You don't remember scores. You maybe remember a game or two, but you don't remember specific scores and stuff like that. But it's the fact that you had camaraderie. You represented your school. You represented your community, and that's what makes high school sports great.
It does. And like, it was a win, but I just remember whenever for the basketball team, when we finally beat Southwestern at home and just everybody ran on the court. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to get mad. People are going to, but I was like, no one cared because we were just, I think it was just a regular conference game, but everyone was so excited that, you know, it's just, we came together in that moment. It was a lot of fun.
Kelsey Card here with us on Sports Saturday. We've just got a few more minutes left with Kelsey here this morning. You're going to have a fun week coming up next week. You've been on kind of like a celebrity welcome home victory tour here, and rightfully so, but you're going to be speaking at a couple different Carlinville school buildings next week, and that, I would imagine, is going to be kind of a surreal experience.
It is, just because, you know, I've been in those seats, you know, and I remember when I was a little kid in grade school, just the different guests and stuff that we would come have, and I wouldn't always remember, like, what they were saying, but it was just the fact that there was a cool figure person there talking to us, you know, and so that's, I think, what kids get excited about, and so, and I love kids, so I'm excited to, you know, meet with them and talk to them and hopefully kind of encourage and inspire them to, you know, chase after their dreams and to kind of, you know, realize that it is possible. It's just, and with the older crowd too, it's going to be hard and it requires sacrifice, but it's just, if you do it and if you commit and stay passionate about it, you know, anything's possible. You can never be afraid to surprise yourself with what you can do and what you're capable of doing.
Was there ever a moment for you at any point from high school to today where you thought, you know what, I can't do it, or I don't want to do it, I'm done?
Well, I mean, I had a dark time in high school senior year when I had a hip surgery. You can ask my mother. I was like, I'm dying. I'm never going to walk again. What is this? You know, like, it was bad. It was rough. So I kind of had that. You know, I had great
medical. But you were a teenager.
Yes. There was a lot of dramatic things going on in my life. But I made it back of that. And then, I mean, I think other than that, I would say kind of freshman year of college, just because going to college, going away, like just being separated, being responsible and stuff, I really took it hard. And, you know, I had a time where I think I came home for the Halloween parade, and I was like, I don't want to go back. And like I said, there was a lot of different things there. But mom and dad were like, well, you know, that's your decision. And so I thought about it. I was like, I should probably go back. And, you know, and things got better. It's just because I reached out to different people and resources, and I did what I needed to do to dig myself out of a hole and make things better. I had to be proactive. I couldn't just stay in this, oh my God, it's terrible phase. You know, like, I had to make the decision to pull myself up by my bootstraps, or whatever that saying is.
There you go.
And get it together.
I'd say it worked.
And in just short time we have, just a couple comments. First off, we truly appreciate you coming by.
We're
so thankful that the success that you've had is you've been willing to share it.
It's fun to share and come and
spend time with us. You're an outstanding young person, and I brag on you frequently about how kind and courteous and very smart that you are, and you still have great things ahead of you. So
thank you
so much for coming, and we really appreciate it. And we are so proud to have an Olympian in our midst. We really, really are.
Well, thank you guys for having me, and you guys have always been amazing at covering everything, and it's just, I love being here and chatting with you guys, you know, it's just, I feel like we're a couple of friends at the coffee table.
That's right.
The door's always open.
Thank you.
The door's always open.
Oh, we were so mad when you stopped a few weeks ago, and none of us were here.
I was on vacation that week. You guys were in Dakota.
We were in Dakota. Brandy gets on, like, hey, Kelsey Card stopped by. What?
I was hoping to see you guys, but it's okay. Yeah.
You're here now.
Yes.
Congratulations on the great experience. Yeah. I'd say experience of a lifetime, but hey, maybe you'll do it again, right?
Maybe. We'll see.
That's right. Kelsey Card, thank you so much. Before we get out of here, anything that you would like to say here, anybody you would like to thank locally,
just
in general terms?
Like I said before, just family, friends, and community. It's been amazing to see the outpouring of support from the town, and I'm really excited that I can bring something positive to unite the community together. So thank you for everything.
Carlinville grad, U.S. Olympian Kelsey Card, thank you so much for coming in studio this morning. We are out of time here on Sports Saturday. For David Jenkins, T-Tote, Kelsey Card, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.